Okay, Rabbi Sai. Today's daf is daf Yud Dalid. We'll start from the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amid Beis. We've been learning from the beginning of the Masechta that each time that you want to be able to go and be Mesakein a Mavui Sosum, you have a Mavui She'enem Mefulash, a cul-de-sac, a dead end, you want to be able to go and carry within that area on Shabbos, Minatora, there's no problem. You got three walls, three machitzos. Midrabanan, however, you have to go and put up something so people should know that this is a special area called a mavui, and that's why I'm able to carry here, but I cannot carry across the street. So what do I have to put up? Either a lechi or a korah. So now our Mishnah tells us the dimensions of the korah. Our Kodesh Amru, the Kodesh that we're referring to, Rochba Kedei LeKabel Oriach, it has to be wide enough to be able to hold up a brick. Now the question is, how big is the brick? Oriach is Chatzi Levene Shel Shloisha Tvachim. In the Mishnah beginning of Masechtas Bava Basra, when we talk about Hashutfim, Shirotzu Lasois Mechitza, they wanted to come and split up their property, it talks about over there, Levenim and Orichim, and a kfisim, and other things of that nature. So it says over there, an ariach is chatzi levena shoshloi tzvachim, meaning that a levena is three tzvachim wide, and ariach is 1.5 tzvachim wide. Our Mishnah doesn't tell us how long the ariach is, but yet we'll see in the Gemara, the ariach was three tzvachim long, and 1.5 tzvachim wide. Says the Mishnah, the width of the korah that you put up on the top of your mavoi, on the top of the two walls, it has to be wide enough, a tefach, so that it can hold up the uriach, l'rochbay, to its width. And the Gemara is going to ask an obvious question, that since the uriach is 1.5 tefachim wide, and the korah is only one tefach wide, how do you squeeze 1.5 tefachim in a space of one tefach? And the obvious answer that everybody is thinking already in their minds, it's easy. You let it stick out on both sides. Metcha will talk about that in the Gemara. Now, the Tanna Kamma says it's not only Rechava Kedei LeKabel Oriach, not only does it have to be wide enough to be able to hold up a brick, Ubriya Kedei LeKabel Oriach, it's got to be strong enough to go and carry and hold a brick. If your entire korah is paper thin and you put on an ariach and plop, the whole thing plopses to the ground, no good. It's got to be strong enough. So not only wide enough, but strong enough. Rabbi Yehuda, however, respectfully disagrees. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rechava Aval Pishi Ein Bria. The important thing is the width, not the strength. So if it's a tefach wide, that's already enough. And, in fact, Rabbi Yehuda continues with further examples to dramatize his view. What happens if the korah was made out of, I mentioned paper thin, says the Gemara, was made out of straw, or made out of reeds, very flimsy material, and you were to go and put a brick on it, the brick immediately is going to fall through. And therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, Royan oisa ki'ilu hishol matchis. We have this concept of royin. Royin is a concept midrabanan. Since the whole inyan of putting up the korah or the lechi is midrabanan, so the same rabanan say that even if it happens to be as thin as reeds or as straw, that's also good. The ariach cannot be held up. It doesn't have to. Royin, we look upon it as if it's made out of metal. And similarly, akuma, if it happens to be a korah that is not straight but has kind of a diversion. We had the movi okum. Here is a koira akuma. It's not straight. It goes with a little bit of a crookedness, if you will. Makes a short detour. Royan oisek ili pshutu. Look upon it as if it happens to be poshit, simple, spread out, and fine. We're going to see in the Gemara what the chiddush is about this agula, about this akuma. Similarly, agula, if you had a round type of koira, and you look upon it as if it was, in fact, square or rectangular. Since it's round, how do you go and measure it? Says the Mishnah is very simple. Go and take the circumference. If the circumference is 3 tvachim, then you know for sure that the roicha, that the thickness, the width, is that of a tefach. So, in this final case, for instance, what happens if your kora is in the form of a large log of a tree? You just cut down a tree. You have this wide circular log, and you put that there for a kora, and you're wondering, the ariach cannot stick on top of it. It won't stand on it because it's, you know, it's a round shape. But is it wide enough and is it strong enough to hold up the ariach? Says the Mishnah, I'll tell you how to measure whether it's wide enough. You don't have to go and cut the log down the middle. Just go and do the famous pi theorem, and that is, we all know pi is 3.14, etc., etc. Chazal don't measure it with that precision. They rather do a simple number, and they always say that it's 3 times as much. So the circumference of the circle is 3 times the diameter. Therefore, the diameter in our case is 1. So if the diameter is 1, 3 times 1 is 3. It's really 3.14, etc., with another 100 integers after that. But nevertheless, our Mishnah just makes it plain and simple. So go and take the circumference of this log. If it's 3 tvachim or more, then you know it has roichav tefach, and it's kosher for purposes of our kaya. And the Gemara is going to explore each of these things in greater detail. So we start off the Mishnah again. Top of Yud Dalet of an Aleph, we're saying the Kora has to be 1 tefach wide. It has to hold up an Ariach. An Ariach is a tefach umechza. Frank the more tefach. Tefach umechza boy. Shouldn't the Kora have to be 1.5 tefachim wide to hold up the Ariach? And for the more Kimin the Rochav, the Kabel tefach. Either chatzit tefach malbin lei betina mashu mihaygisa umashu mehaygisa bekaima. It's very simple that if you have your koira, the koira is 1 tefach wide. You want to put on top of it an ariach which is 1.5 tefachim wide. So let a quarter of a tefach stick out on one side, a quarter of a tefach stick out on the other side. You're concerned that maybe it'll fall down in a draft or a wind. So I have a good idea to make sure that it stays in place. Put a little cement on one side, a little cement on the other side, and this will hold it in place so that it shouldn't fall down. So now there's a machloikas and mafarshim. Do we mean this literally? Because after all, you don't have to put in a riach. It's more of a philosophical thing. In other words, there is a religious requirement that it has to be strong enough and wide enough to hold up an riach. But you never really have to put the ariach on it if you want to test it out, because it's tight. But if you know that this is a strong piece of lumber, and it happens to be a tefach wide, the shishrin yinuk. You don't need more than that. You don't have to actually test it and leave the ariach there. So why do you have to go and put the cement on? Just like you know that it's strong enough, so think about it as if it has the cement and it'll hold it up, etc., etc. So in fact, the Ritva, in explaining our Mishnah, it sounds like that he holds it every time you have a koira up, you have to put a drop of cement on the right and a drop of the cement on the left, that just in case you were to put up an ariach, it would hold the ariach in place. However, most of the mafarshim do not seem to learn like that, and they seem to say that just like I look at this koira and I say it probably can hold up an ariach because it's nice and strong. You're going to go and tell me, but it's only a tefach in width, not a tefach and a half. What we do, just in case we ever wanted to actually test it out and put the ariach on, we could smear it with tit on both sides and that would hold it in place, so you don't have anything to worry about. But the Gemara doesn't mean literally that you have to go and smear it on both sides. It just means to say you would have that eitzah in case you wanted to go and try out the ariach. So since it would hold if you put the cement on both sides, you don't really have to put it on both sides, but it's more of, it's almost like if Yehuda says royin, we consider it and deem it as if there is cement that will hold it in place. Like we learned in our Mishnah, but then continues Rabbi Rav Huna, "Mamidei koira einan tzrichen shiubriyan kedei lekabel koira v'ariach." What does that mean? What happens if the koira is not actually lying on the two walls of the mavoi, right? When you come into the mavoi, you have the two walls on the right and the left. So you typically put the koira on top. What happens if you didn't put the koira directly on top, and instead you had yesedos, you had pegs, you had hooks sticking out from both walls, and on top of those hooks you put up the koira, and the ma'amidim, these hooks, these pegs, did a great job. They were strong enough to hold up the koira. The question is, do they have to be strong enough to hold up the koira and the ariach? Because since you're telling me that for the koira purposes, it's only a kosher koira, if it's strong enough to hold up the brick, so then maybe the mamidim have to be strong enough to hold up both the koira and the brick. Because if they cannot hold up a koira and a brick, so then maho ilu hachom etakanos, and then these mamidim are not doing a good job. It's got to hold up a koira that can hold up a brick. So the koira need require both. And therefore, in fact, we have now a machloikis between Rabbi Barav Huna and Rav Chisda. Rabbi Barav Huna says only the koira has to be strong enough to hold up the ariach. But the mamidim koira, they only have to be strong enough to hold up a koira. Are you going to tell me, so how have we complied with our Mishnah? And the answer is simple. Because the koira on its own, the integrity and the quality of the koira is such that it can hold up an ariach. So even though the mamidim cannot hold up both, but they're holding up a koira that has the strength to hold up an ariach, and that's sufficient. But Rav Chisda says, no, Rav Chisda Omer, echadzeh v'yechadzeh tzricho shiyo b'riyin, k'dei v'kapol koira v'ariach. It's not just enough that the koira can hold up the ariach, but also zeh v'zeh, meaning both, you say this on the right and the left, they also have to be strong enough to hold up a koira and an ariach, otherwise it's not a kosher koira for our purposes. So Rav Sheshes tells us the famous rule that sometimes kol hamoisif goyrea, you want to be machmir, and instead of working out a chumra, you've turned it into a kilkul, a kula. Well, what's the story over here? We know that a koyra is sufficient. Now, we also know that there's a big machloikis, how does the koira work? Does it work mishum heker, or does it work mishum machitza? Heker means I see it, and if I realize, oh, this must be a special situation, a mavoi situation, or is it that I look upon the koira, pichitza yoyed v'soysim, pipnima yoyed v'soysim, that it's a virtual walk. So here you have a person who's an erlich yid, a fruma, and he says to himself, I don't want to just rely on virtual walls. I want to rely on actual walls. So what does he do? He puts up the koira, and then he hangs from the koira a beautiful Persian carpet. Everybody looks at it and says, wow, that's gorgeous, it's so nice, it's so beautiful. However, he doesn't want the Persian carpet to get dirty, or it's just not long enough. So guess what? It's suspended from the ground by three tvachim. It doesn't go all the way down, but it's three tvachim above the ground. It says Rav Sheshes, Hiniach koira al gabi movi, put the koira up. If you'd just put the koira up, it was fine. It goes within 20 amas, everything would have been perfect. You can go and carry in the movi. But he added, uporas al machzelis. He unraveled a machzelis. A machzelis is a mat, or for our purposes, a carpet or a rug. The reason why he did it, said Rashi, is liyapis koyach heterai. He wanted to strengthen the koyach of the heter of this mavoi, not just to rely on a symbolic koyach. He wanted an actual machitza, and that's why he has this machzelis. However, being in a karka shloisha, however, it didn't go all the way to the ground. It was three tvachim raised from the ground. Says Rav Sheishis, not only has he not enhanced the koyach, he is taken away from the koyach. So that's what I was saying, kol hamoisif goyrea. Koira ein kan, machitza ein kan. Why koira ein kan? Koira ein kan doha machasya. You don't even see the koira. Especially if you hold that the koira is mishum heker, that you should be able to see that the koira identifies this as being a mother. You don't see the koira. The koira is undercover. Literally, it's covered up by the machzelis. You don't have the benefit of a machitza because since it's raised three tvachim from the ground, then the gdoyim, the small little goats, they're able to go and jump and run freely underneath the machitza, those three tvachim, and therefore that ruins the entire machitza. We have the same concept by sukkah as well, that if it's raised three tvachim from the ground, you have the swara of gdoyim boikim ba. It's somewhat ironic, because if you hold that the din of koira is mishum machitza, then you look upon this virtual wall as going all the way down to the ground, and it's kosher, just as long as it's within the 20 amas from the ground, then you don't have any problems. This is a virtual machitza. Not only can you have gedoyim boikin ba, you can have elephants boikin ba, because it's only a virtual wall, it's not a regular full wall. There, the Gdoyim Boikimot doesn't bother us. Here, however, we have an actual wall of a Machzeles. You better make sure the Machzeles goes all the way to the ground, because if it's three Tvachim higher than the ground, the Gdoyim Boikimot go and destroy. And we're not talking about that they're actual Gdoyim Boikimot. We're just saying that since there is the possibility of a Gdoyim Boikimot, that ruins, that undermines the integrity of this Machitza. So if you have a virtual Machitza, it virtually goes to the ground. It doesn't go virtually to three tvachim removed from the ground. It goes all the way down. So you don't have gedoyim boikim, even though it's not a actual, it's just a virtual. But if you want to deal with an actual, it better go to the ground, because otherwise, if it's three tvachim removed, gedoyim boikim, I see Barry has a question. Barry, shoot.
I understand that if it's mishum machitza and it doesn't go to the ground, it's not a full machitza. But if we said that kovar is mishum heker, there is a heker. The person exiting or entering the mavoi bumps into this physical carpet, this physical mat, and they're aware there is a presence of that kovar holding up the mat. So it's mishum heker. I mean, heker. If we're saying mishum machitza, lava, three, okay, I understand how that becomes a problem. But we said it's because Hecker, you do recognize there's a coda there, there's a machitza, it's the end of the mavoi. Why isn't it good if it's mishum Hecker?
Let me ask you a question. I hear you loud and clear. What happens if instead of putting up a koira lechi, a person would put up a big sign in beautiful Kiddush Levana Oisius, big, big font, in English, Hebrew, Yiddish, and Hungarian, and even Spanish, and each one of them says very clearly, Raboisai, the reason why you're able to carry in this mavoi on Shabbos is because this is a mavoi, which is a mavoi sosim, not mafulosh, and therefore min ha-Torah it's kosher, and we're only doing it midrabanan, and that's why here you're allowed to carry, across the street you're not allowed to carry. Would that sign help? Why not?
Not at all, because that's not the chachamim who goes there.
Exactly.
Goes there a kora mishum heker. There is a heker. Heker is there underneath this machzelis. Why is that heker not a valid heker?
If you see the koira, then it's a heker. If you don't see the koira, you don't see it. So you're saying maybe the people inside the mob we see from the other side. More doesn't go into that level of detail. It could be that the carpet was surrounding the entire, was wound around the entire koira. So you didn't see it from the inside, you didn't see it from the outside. It was wound around from all sides. So you're telling me, yeah, but what's holding up the machzelis? I don't know what's holding the machzelis, for all I know. Maybe a thin little rod, which is not even a tefach wide. It's not strong enough to hold up an ariach. It's only strong enough to hold up a machzelis. So it doesn't have the din of a koira that you recognize and that you see and say, oh, it's a koira! I can go and carry, because it's all covered up. Tanurban. Koira yoitz mikoisel zeh, v'yena bit negas mikoisel zeh. V'chein shtei koiris achas yoitz mikoisel zeh, v'yachas yoitz mikoisel zeh. We had a similar case already early on in the second, v'afei davov. The Gemara spoke about meshucha and tluya. You have a situation of a koira that is extending from one koisel, however it doesn't get all the way to the other koisel. In other words, maybe it's nailed down on one side, otherwise the koira should topple over. Maybe there's some sort of hook that's holding it up. But the point is, the width, lemoshel, of this mavi, lemoshel, is 9 amas wide, which is fine. I don't have a problem of being memayit. It's less than 10. But I do have to put up a keri, a lechi, or a koira. So he put up the koira, but the koira, unfortunately, was only 8 amas wide. So it's sitting on top of one wall, But as it gets closer to the second wall, you notice, uh-oh, it doesn't reach the second wall. Bein in the gas b'koysel zeh. Or, b'chein shtei koyres, achas yoyt b'koysel zeh, v'yachas yoyt b'koysel zeh. What happens if you have two koyres, each one of them is a chvais 4.7 amas, and it's 4.7 on this side, 4.7 on that side, you add them together, 9.4, it's less than 10, it's kishmak. But the problem is that they don't merge anywhere in the middle. There's still a space between the two. So I don't have one full koira extending from one wall to the other. Says the Braisa, very simply, if the space between the singular koira and the second wall, or the two koirais between the space in between, if that's tvachim mishloish, if that's less than three tvachim, means there's lovely koira acheres. You don't have to add another koira. Why? Because of the famous rule of lovud. Anything up to three, it's as if it's, we fill it up halachically, and therefore we fill up the space of the three tvachim, and magically our koira now has been extended another three tvachim to the top of the second wall, or we've merged the two koirais, each one of them being only half of the Pesach HaMovi, merge the two if it's less than three tvachim. However, if it's shloisha or more, tzarech lavi koirach, it's got to be less than shloisha. Once you hit three tvachim, there's no din of love, but it's got to be less than three. 2.999 is great, but three doesn't work. Reb Shimon Gamliel, this is Reb Shimon Gamliel, which I had already a couple of days ago. Reb Shimon Gamliel holds throughout Shas, but we don't find him that much throughout Shas. We find him in Erevin several times, and one in Masechta Sukkah, because that's where we deal with the Yonim of Lovud. You don't have a lot of Lovud in Masechtas Chulin or Masechtas Krisus. You have it here in Erevin and Sukkah. So Reb Shimon Gamliel, Oymer, Pochus, Midalad, Ein Tzarech Lavi Karyacheres, Arba Tzarech Lavi Karyacheres. Same principle, but it's not a three tvachim thing, it's a four tvachim thing. Okay. Next halach in the Braisa. B'chein beis koiris hamat'imois. The word mat'imois, says Rashi, is similar to the word to'oimim. To'oimim, we know, are twins. And therefore, these two koiris are twin. They're not the twin towers, aleihem hashalom, but you have the twin koiris. And these two twin koiris are parallel to one another. Each one of them was, let's say, only one half a tefach wide, so it doesn't qualify because a koira has to be a tefach wide. Meaning that if the two koiras, for instance, are one next to each other, there is no space. Or even if there is a minimal space between the two, it could hold up the ariach l'rochbay, meaning the one and a half tvachim wide, so that the combination of the two koirais adds up to at least a tefach, as required in our Mishnah. Then you're okay, because add the two together, make them into one, it's as if we have one koira of one tefach. Dimlav, what happens, however, if you combine the two, each one of the koirais l'mashal is only a quarter of a tefach wide, so if you add two quarter of a tefach, you only get a half a tefach. That's not wide enough. Our Mishnah says it's got to be a koira of at least the width of a tefach. So what do? Tzarech lavi koira acheres, and you have to bring a brand new koira, and either a third koira that is mashlim now a tefach, or bring a brand new koira which itself is a tefach. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, if in fact they're not wide enough a tefach, I have another eitzah. What's my eitzah? In the Kabbalah, so viach li arkoi shloisha, and tzarech lavi koira acheres. Even though the width of the koirais is such that it's not wide enough to hold up an ariach l'rochbay, that's the one and a half. However, if it can hold up the ariach l'arkoy, which is three, remember I told you in the Mishnah that the width of an ariach is one and a half, but the length of the ariach is three. If it can hold up ariach l'arkoy, enter chlavi koir acheres. Now you're wondering to yourself, if it cannot hold up a one and a half width ariach, how can it hold up a three ba'oirech? We're not talking about ba'oirech that you're changing the putting down on the koira. The koira remains the same. Now the question is about this ariach. The ariach you place down on the koirais. if you put it to the width of the Ariach, which is 1.5, and it doesn't hold it up because it's less than 1, then forget about it. Ah, says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, but if it can hold it up, the Orkai, in other words, turn the Ariach around, not to its width, but to its length, which is 3 Tvachim, if you can hold that up, then we're fine. How does that work? So, in the art scroll, there's a picture, and I'm sure there's a picture in Pirush Chai and the other places, that it's talking about that you have two parallel koirois, and you leave space between the two parallel koirois, and now you put down on that two koirois. Do you have that in English one too? I have it in the Hebrew. I'm assuming you have that in the English, the same thing. Yeah? So you see the picture that you have the two koirois. Take your Ariach, don't put it to the width, put it to the length, and if it's held up by the two koirois to the length, even though in between there might be one or two tvachim of space. But as long as the two koirois are strong enough to hold up the Ariach la'arkai, and with the additional space in between, that's also good, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Of course, that's a great kula, because according to Tanakama, if you put it le'rochpai, the Ariach would fall through. It is not, if the space is too wide, l'chayra, and it's not wide enough to hold up 1.5, like we said. But as long as it's le'arkai, that also works, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So now, Nachamu, where are we holding the raisa here? Yeah, b'chein beit kores matimois, zok Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, in the kabeles, oriach li'arkai, shloisha ein tzarech l'havi kore acheres, in lav tzarech l'kore acheres. Good. Next case. Ha'yachs l'mal v'yachs l'mat. He had taka these two koreis, but they weren't parallel. One was higher, and one was lower. Well, what do I do now? Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, I met, says Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is the son of Rabbi Yehuda that we had in our Mishnah. That'll become important in another few lines. So Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, even though the two are not parallel, one is higher, one's lower, look upon each one as if it's higher and lower, and therefore go and even them out halachically. Deem them to be parallel to one another. Take the tachtoinim lamala, put the elyoinim lamata, until they're parallel with one another. The only time that you cannot say that, says Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, this roin will help if both of them are within the kosher range of koireis. What's the kosher range? It has to be higher than 10 tefachim from the ground, less than 20 amos from the ground. It's if in between the 10 tefachim and the 20 amos, you have the two koireis, but unfortunately the two don't see eye to eye, one's higher, one's lower. And then Ryan, you push the upper one down, you push the lower one up, and now they're parallel, and then you have the same as we said before, im rochboy kedela kabel ariach l'rochboy, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, if you can do it ariach l'arkai, shloisha, and then it works.
So you can still see them as parallel, even though they're not on the same plane. Could be from on an angle, on a slant, they're still parallel.
Good.
They almost fit into the same lechi.
So Steve is saying it's not only Royin in the halachic sense, but even in the physical sense. If you're looking at it at an angle as a diagonal, it could have the appearance of being parallel to one another. Okay, good.
Other cases where the beams have not been parallel, not been on the same plane, and still okay.
Okay. Omar Abaye says, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda that we just finished talking about, Abaye makes a beautiful footnote, and he says, he holds like his father of Yehuda in one respect, but he disagrees with him in the other respect. That was what we had in the Mishnah. That Royan says of Yehuda, that even if your koira is made out of flimsy material, such as kash vikonim, Royan oisakili ishal machas, and that's good enough. So over here too, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says that even though they're not parallel, royim as if they're parallel. So in that respect, they're exactly the same. The either Yehuda of the Malami Esrim, back in the first Mishnah in our Masechta, we started off Movi Shigavoy Malami Esrim Ami Yemayit. Says Rabbi Yehuda, you don't have to be Mamayit. So even if it's higher than 20, it's still kosher. Why did Rabbi Yosef Yehuda say that if one of the koirois is the Malami Esrim, no good? Even a Malmi Esrim is okay. How far that goes, we already talked about in the Gemara, up to 40, up to 50, by Kapara said up to 100. But why did he say the Lamal and Yasrim is no good? So therefore, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda disagreed. The Rabbi Yehuda said, Lamal and Yasrim, Rabbi Yehuda said, Chav in Lamal and Chav. Good. Says the more right. Rabbi Yehuda Yomer Chav Alva Bishayin Bria. So remember, Rabbi Yehuda disagreed with the Tanakam, and he says it doesn't have to be Bria as long as it's white. Master Rabbi Yehuda, Lechia Barav, Kami Derav. So Rabbi Yehuda is teaching our Mishnah to Chia Barav, which was the son of Rav. And he's teaching him in front of Rav. What did he teach him? Rechav Avo Bisha'ena Bria, that it's got to be wide, even if it does not have to be so strong. Amalei, and Rav corrected him. He told him, Isnaya Rechav Ubria. This is the second time that we find such a situation since the beginning of our Masechta, that Rabbi Yehuda is talking to Rechia Barav. I'm sorry, Brother Shai?
Yeah, by Tzuras of Pesach, we have the same.
Exactly, by Tzuras of Pesach. The Nar Mishnah says that Tzuras of Pesach will help if it's wider than 10. And Rav said, go and tell my son, no, it's not going to help. The Tzuras of Pesach won't help. Shkoyach, Brother Shai. So here too, Rav corrected Rav Yehuda and said, "Don't. That's not the way to learn our Mishnah. Learn the Mishnah Chava Ubriya." The Gemara is an obvious question now. If you're going to go and tell me that Rav Yehuda holds Rechav Ubriya, then Rav Yehuda is exactly like the Tanakhama of our Mishnah. The Tanakhama already says it's got to be Rechav and Briya Kedei Lekabel Ariyach. And then you have Rav Yehuda says, according to our Girsa, no, it doesn't have to be Briya, it's enough to be Rechav. But according to the way Rav is learning, so what's the Machloikis? So you're going to go and tell me there is no machloikis, and Rav Yehuda is just agreeing with the Tanakhama. So why does it continue in the Mishnah say, if it's made out of kash v'kodem roi noi sekilim atchiz? No, it's not true. It's got to be rechava ubriya. We will not look upon the kash v'kodem like it's matchiz, because it's got to be briya. So you have to go and take out that entire sentence, that whole. So this is not my point. The Tosfos is already asked in the second Tosfos. If you look at the beginning of the Tosfos, Pirish Reshban, the in machloik is bedava. There's no machloik between the Tanakama and the Yehuda. They're both saying the same thing. Bekasha, does yesh limchoik kol gavava derayin? And this whole business about roin the kash v'konim as if it's matches, you got to go and take your push the delete button, take out all these 10 words, because he also holds it's got to be rechavabri. Therefore, Tosis says that perhaps the pshat is you have to go be mahapach divir Yehuda rabbanim. And therefore, in the Mishnah, the Tanakhama is saying that it could be Rechava Afal Pi She'ein Bria. And it's Rabbi Yehuda that says, no, no, it's got to be Rechava Bria. And that says the Mishnah, the Royin that goes in the Tanakhama, it's not going on Rabbi Yehuda. Anyway, that's what Rav told his son, Rechava Bria. The Omer Rabbi Loi Omer Rav, the same Rav said, Rechava Afal Pi She'ein Bria. That if you're talking about the Koira, if it's 4 Tfachim wide, even if it's not Bria, and you just told me now, according to Rav, it's got to be Rechavu Bria. Evdim Rechav Arbo Shaini. Oh, Taka, it depends. If you only have 1 Koira, then make sure that it's a Bria. If that Koira is only a Tefach wide, a 2 Tfachim wide, 3 Tfachim wide, make sure it's a Bria. If, however, the Koira is 4 Tvachim wide, then even if it's not Bria, it's also good. So according to Rav, the Takonis Chachom Legabi Koira was one of 2 options. You can either have a strong Koira that can hold up an Ariach, and then it only has to be 1 Tefach wide, or if you only have a flimsy material, what do? Then make sure that it's 4 Tvachim wide, even if it cannot hold up an Ariach. Says like the Mishnah, Oysa Shokash V'Shokan, Faith Yimura, Maika Mashbulan, once you said that it doesn't have to be Bria, then what's the Chiddush of the Kash V'Konim? It's like Matches. You're telling me the Marina Royan, Haimahach, that means that's the same Halacha that we're saying, that it doesn't have to be Bria, so it doesn't have to be Royan. Well, what's the two Amar the same, B'mina Amrina, Shalei B'mina Loi Amrina. I would say B'mina Amrina. What means B'mina Amrina? If the Koira was made out of wood, but this wood happens to be flimsy wood. Chwais, I'm not that familiar with wood, but let's say it's oak wood, which is not so strong, and it cannot hold up an Ariach. And therefore I say, look upon it as if it's cedar wood from the sequoias from California, strong wood, it's invulnerable even to kryptonite. It happens to be so strong, gewaltig. Anyway, the point is, B'mina amrin, and I would say, it's flimsy wood, look upon it as if it's strong, really heavy-duty, great wood. But you even mean if you're starting off with kash v'konim, there's no way the kash v'konim is going to be straw. There is no strong kash v'konim. If you're talking about straw, and if you're talking about reeds, by definition, these are weaklings. So I would think, Loi Amrin, you don't say the concept of Rayan, Kamash Malon, even Shalai Bimina, you say that they look it's as if it's matches, and it's fine, and it's kosher. Akuma Rayan Oisagili Pshuta, Pregimor Pshita, what's the Chiddush, the Gabi, this Akmimus? Okay, so it's not straight, so it's crooked. Fine, so it's crooked. Valamaisa, if you can hold up the Ariach, what's the Chiddush? Kamash look at Reb Zeta, the Yom Reb Zeta, he betoy hamovi makum nisa chutz l'mavi. In other words, when we talk about a Misa, look upon this as being a Kaira that has in the middle like a U. A U mean the shape of a U of the alphabet. And therefore, if you want to go from one end, if you look here in the art scroll, again, they have a picture. And you see that you start off with a Kaira from one wall, it goes to the other wall, but in the middle is kind of a detour with a circle, which is a semicircle. Today they call it a traffic circle or a runaround. It's another term for that.
Kikar in Hebrew.
Kikar, okay, kikar. Good, good. But in English, the GPS doesn't call it a traffic circle, so they call it a roundabout. I don't know why they like the word roundabout, so it's like. But the point is that you see that part of it's sticking out of the mavoi, right? The front part is coming out of the mavoi. Akmimis is chutz l'mavoi. Or hebetoichesv, akmimis l'malam yesev. Or you have a situation where the movi itself, not the movi, the koyr itself is within 20, that's fine. However, the bubble, like you see here, it's not to the side, but it's up, and that goes higher than 20. So I would think that passes it. Or, what happens if the koyr is taka higher than 10 tvachim? That's great. But part of it bends down and goes lower. Again, you have another picture here in the art scroll, where you see the V in the middle. Why, that's a U and there's a V, basal nish. But the point is, the part of it is dipping down below the 10 tefachim. So I would say, oy, 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 the mavi is no good. The koyr is no good. In all cases, roin kal ish ilu, not to akmimisa. All you have to do is look upon the akmimis, that U or that V that is extending, go and cut it out on a virtual basis, not literally, but cut it out on a virtual basis. Now look between one end of the koira and the other end of the koira where you have removed the akmimimis. If ein bein zeh lezeh shloish, if you don't have between this one and that one three tefachim, ein tzorach lahavi koira acheres, then you don't have to, because you have the principle of lovet. The imlav, however, if it's more than three when you cut out the akmimis, tzorach lahavi koira acheres. That's all too hard to double push it. I can't use that mimis because it's sticking out of the mavoi, or it's too high, it's too low. I got to cut it out, and therefore the remaining koira doesn't join because it's less. Sorry, because it's more than three tefachim. There's no lovin, so we push it. So the mahivatech mavoi v'akmimisa v'kutz l'mavoi it's tricholei. Ah, it's coming to tell us the chiddush regarding the mavoi and the akmimis. Akmimis again means that U is sticking out to the front, and let's assume that in fact it's less than three tefachim, and therefore there is lovud, and therefore it's a good koira. But now the same aleichus to ma'asim amshuchi basra. Since you're saying that the entire mavui is kosher to go and carry, and since we know that there's typically, at least according to one man, the Yomar, that you're allowed to go and be mishamish tachas akora, so the person is going to go and carry under the akmimus of the koira, which is in the rishus harabim, and he's a big tamid chacham, and he's going to go and say, and so therefore I can go and carry in the Rishus Adam itself underneath the U of the Akmimis of the Mavi of the Kaira. Kamash Malad, I'm not going there. I'm not concerned about that. People know better, and we're not worried that they're going to carry outside in the Rishus Adam. The next case of the Mishnah is Agul Roynoi Sekili Himiru Bas. I mean, how many cases do you need to tell us about Roy? To go and tell us this principle. Remember, we said it's talking about Lamashal, that the koira was in the form of a log, and now I don't know whether it has the width to hold up an Ariyach, the width has to be one tefach wide. I can't measure it because the whole thing is circular. So if the circumference is three, then you know the diameter is one, and therefore you know that the width is at least one tefach wide. Where do you take this principle from? We know that this is a major principle of math. But how do we know this principle of math? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, I'm a Chaba Pasik. And now we talk about the famous Yam Shel Shloimai. As we'll see in a moment, the Yam Shel Shloimai was a huge pool. It was so huge, it had the volume of 150 mikvahs. A regular mikvah has to have 40 sa'ah. This had in it 6,000 sa'ah. Think about your regular standard size mikveh, multiplied 150 times, that was the size of the Yam Shel Shloimai, as we'll see in the Gemara. So the Gemara said, the Yasa say, Yam, Shloimai Melech made this Yam, Mutzak, it was, in other words, poured out and molten, if you measured it from one end to the other end, in other words, go and look at the opening of the pool as you're entering into it. Go and measure from one side to the other side. It added up altogether to 10 amos. That you got to remember, 10 amos. You also got to remember Ogl Sovet, that it was a round pool. In other words, architecturally, it must have been very, very attractive. It must have been really beautiful for the eye. It wasn't square. It had this beautiful circle to it, Ogl Sovet. And the height was 5 amos. The kav shloishim ba'ama yisiv oisei sovet. Now, if you wanted to go and measure the circumference of the opening of the pool, go and take a kav, go and take your measuring stick, or take your measuring line, made out of material, all the seamstresses, they all have this, you can go and measure with such a, not a rope, but such a measuring thing, which is made out of fabric. Okay, the kav shloishim amos isav oisei sovet. It was 30 amos around. Okay, so we already have our raya. What's our raya? Our raya is that it was 10 misvosei ad tvosei, from one part of the opening to the other side of the opening was 10. That's the diameter of the opening. And now if instead of taking the diameter of the opening, if instead I put a kav around the whole opening, I get shloishim amos. Oh, so that's 3-1. So that's what it says in our Mishnah, a 3-1 proportion. Frank Demora, Vekasvasai. Since you're putting this kav around this svasai, this svasai, the edge of the mikveh itself, has to have a thickness to it. And therefore, if you're putting this rope around it to go and measure, so then you're including within it not only the well itself, or the yam itself, the hollow of the yam, but also the thickness of the walls, which has got to take up also at least a few inches on all sides. In fact, as we'll see in the next passage, the Gemara is going to quote, this was so artistic and so architecturally beautiful that the rim at the edge of the mikveh, at the very top, was almost paper thin. Not paper thin, but it was perach shoishan. Perach shoishan means like the petal of a rose. And if any of you have ever bought roses for Shabbos or any other time, you notice that the petal is very, very, very thin. That's how thin the wall around the top of the mikveh. Obviously, if it had been the bottom of the mikveh, this yam couldn't hold. At the very top, that was the svasei sovet, was very, very thin. The ovyoi tefach, the thickness was tefach, but a svasei at the top, kimasi kois perach shoishon, alpaim pas bas yochel. So it says that it was like a perach shoishon, like the petal of a rose, and that's the thickness, and therefore it really had a very negligible effect in terms of the measuring the kav, a room and a room. Even the petal of a rose also has something. Why is a tenth of an inch? It has something. Doesn't that also skew your measurement? They talk it didn't measure from the outside, rather they measured the circumference from the inside of the Yam Shoshlema. The Gemara on the surface is a little bit of a pella, because we all know that it's not really 3-1, it's really 3.14-1, and then with 100 digits after that, because pi is not 3. Chazal, for convenience purposes, They just go and round it down to 3 to 1 instead of 3.14 to 1. So therefore, even if it has a mashahu, big deal. That's also part of your calculation. So what's bothering the Gemara that says this mashu? It's not precise anyway, these dimensions. So it's not my kasha, but look at the last toises, look at the last two lines, the kasha, deina cheshbon meduktik l'fichach mi'amidos. If you go and ask the great mathematicians, they know that three, it's not really 3 to 1, it's really 3.14 to 1, as is well known. That being the case, what's bothering the Gemara that the Gemara goes and insists and saying, what about this mashu? Anyway, this whole thing's not precise. Okay. Talking more about it. Now we
can. Where was it located?
I'm sorry, Nachmol?
The Yamshar Shlomo.
Where was it located? I believe in the palace of Shlomo Melech, but I'm not sure. You have to ask the Tanakh experts. But this is a huge pool. So now the Gemara tells us about the 150 mikvahs, and we're going to go into a little bit of simple arithmetic, no major shakes. Tani Reb Chiya. It had the volume, it could hold 150 mikvahs. How big is your normal mikvah? What's the minimum? 40 sa. Kinatani, like we learned in the Pasik. And we had this brush already before when we were going through the Mechitzin, Chatzitzin, and Shiurim was Aloch Lamashvisina. We had this back on that. Gimel and Aftalim and Beis. Anyway, so what does the Pasuk tell us? It's got to be Ruchat B'mayim is called Psoray, B'mei Mikvah. It's got to be Mei Mikvah. No, it doesn't have to be Mayim Chayim, but Mei Mikvah is also good. Kol Psoray, Mayim. Mayim Shekol Gufay Oyle Behen. It's got to be water that the entire Guf can fit into it. The Kamehain, what is that minimum shear of the average reasonable person? Hamalama Baroiv. Beroin Sholish Amas. Your normal person is an Amma by an Amma by three Amas. In other words, three cubic Amas of water. Vashir Chachamim may mikvah, and they, the Chachamim measure it, and they faith came out that it's a boy himself. Good. So that's standard din. Three cubic Amas equals 40 sa. Says Yimar, Kama Havalahu. In our case, how many cubic Amas do we have in our? We said a regular mikveh is three cubic amas, right? Three by one is three. How much do we have in our case? So our Gemara says, l'chori, you have chomish mea garmidi. You have 500 cubic amas. How do we get 500? Because we started off that misvasa el svasa was 10, and the Gemara is assuming that we're going to go and multiply 10 by 10 to figure out the area, as if this were a square or as if it was a rectangle, that you go and figure out the area, you go measure one side by the other side, you'd have 100. The Gemara assumes the same thing applies at this time to a circle. Obviously, it's not the same. The Gemara is going to ask that in a couple of lines. But in the meantime, assume that it's a square, 10 by 10, to figure out the area. Right? Okay. So now, if it's 100, that's square. But now we also have to talk about the height. We had in the Gemara on the Pasuk that we quoted that it was 5 Amos tall, right? We had in the Pasuk, the Chomish ba'ama krimosai. So 5 by 10 by 10 is 500 altogether. So instead of being 3, it's 500 cubic Amos. Now that already tells you something. That tells you that it's more than 150. Why is it more than 150? Because if you divide 500 by 3, 3 into 500 gets you to 166 and 2 thirds. Everybody agree with that? 3 times 166 is 498. 3 times 2 thirds is 2, is 500. Very simple. So why did you say in the Amud Aleph that is only 150? You got 166. So the Gemara says this kasha, but in slightly different form. What the Gemara says is, if you're telling me that 150 mikvahs, for that I didn't need 500 amis, it would have been enough to be 450 cubic amis. Because if I divide 450 by 3, I get 150. And that's Imara's kasha. Frank Imar. Kama hablahu, how large was the Yamsha Shleimai? Chamesh mea gamidi, 500 cubic amis. L'klas mea, take of the 500, take off 300 of those. L'klas mea, you have mea, already have 100 mikvus. Because 3 into 300 is 100 times, right? Again, your standard mikvah 40 saw is 3 by 1 by 1, which means it's 3 amos cubed, 3 cubic amos. If you have 300 cubic amos, then you have 100 mikvos. Okay, good. Now, lemei v'chamshin, now take another 150 of your 500. You have chamshin. You already have another 50 mikvos. 3 into 150 gives you 50. So, lemei v'chamshin sagya. Why did Yam Shloimeh have to be 500 cubic amos, 5 by 10 by 10? You could have made it 450 cubic amos, and you would have had 150 mikvahs. Says the Gemara, there's a faulty premise over here, and that is Hani Mila Birbua. If, in fact, you had a square mikvah, square pool, you're 100% right. It's 5 by 10 by 10, 500, that's more than 150 mikvahs. But we're not talking about Ribo, we're talking about Yam Shal Shloim Ogel Haya, like we said on the Amud Aleph, that it was round. Mechdi Kamam Rubi Yasser Ala Ogel. How much is a square larger in area than an Ogel? In other words, go and make your square. Let's assume you make it 10 by 10. It's totally square, 10 on the right, 10 on the left, 10 on the bottom, the top, totally 10. And then you put into it a circle. You draw a circle inside the square, and the diameter of that circle is 10. Okay, so obviously the square has more area, the right-hand corner, the left-hand corner, the bottom, the top, as in all four corners, there's much more area in the revua, in the meruba, than in the ogel. How much more is that? Says Yimar Raviya, it's a quarter. The square has it in a quarter more area than the circle. Uh-huh. Okay. So let's start again. Our cheshvin. The arba meya meya. So instead of talking about 500, let's now go and talk about, of the 500, let's talk about 400. And what are we going to go and say about the 400 of our original 500? That of the 400, that's going to produce meya, 100. Now, before we continue the Gemara, let's just think on our own what the cheshbon is. Since we said that if a revua is 500 garmidi, 500 cubic amos, and we're saying revua is a quarter more than a circle, so how much is a quarter of 500? A quarter of 400 comes out to 100. A quarter of 100 is another, how much?
125.
125. Aha. Okay, so therefore, if we are now converting from the circle down to the square, then we started off with 500 in the circle. The rebuah is greater than the circle by a quarter. We have now to deduct 125, because 4 times 125 is 500. So if we deduct 125 from 500, we get to 375. Okay, in 375, how many mikvahs would we have? 3 into 375 is 125. And that's going to be the Gemara's kasha. I don't have 150 mikvahs anymore. I only have 125 mikvahs because my 500 has been transformed into 375 because of the fact that the area in the circle is a quarter less than the area of a square. If I only have 375, I only have 125 mikvahs, not 150. That's the Gemara's kasha. But the Gemara, again, phrases it a little bit differently than the way we just phrase it. And the Gemara says, of the original 500 that you had, the Arba Meya, of the 400, you have Meya. You have 100 mikvahs. Why would you have 100 mikvahs? Because of the 400, remember we're starting off with 500. Of the 500, we're dividing it between 400 and 100. Of the 400, we have to reduce it now by a quarter. A quarter of 400, I take off 400, I subtract 100, I get down to 300. Oh, 300 is meya, that's 100 mikvahs, because a mikvah is 3 cubic amos, and this is now 300. I start off with 400, I remove, or I subtract a quarter of the 400, which gets that down to 300, that's 100 mikvahs. Now, for the 100 that's left over of the 500, right, we started with 500, we're down to 100. Of that 100, I have to go and again reduce it by a quarter. A quarter of 100 is 25, so I'm going to go and subtract 100 minus 25 to get you down to 75. And 75, I have Esen Mechamisha. Then I get 25 mikvuas, right? 3 into 75 is 25. So, Frank, you want honey, maybe Esen Mechamisha Avalahu. It's not 150, it's only 125. What am I going to do? If the whole thing was square, I'd have 166. If the whole thing is round, then it's 125. Yet the Gemara said that there are 150 mikvahs. So, of course, what do Chazal do? We do a little bit of a hybrid. What's the hybrid? Some of it was square, and some of it was circular. Tony Rambai. The bottom three were, in fact, square, but as it got higher up, the upper two, those two were round. This must have been a gorgeous, gorgeous edifice that you can see. Three square, two on top was round. The top of it, the rim were like petals. That's how thin they were. This must have been architecturally and artistically something, one of the eight wonders of the world. Anyway, but the point is, I got three down below, two up above. How does this help us? Okay, so the three down below, since it's square, that's 3 by 10 by 10. 3 by 10 by 10 is 300. If you got 300, you got 100 mikvahs there, that's easy, 100. Now we got the upper 200. But remember, the upper 200 is not really 200, because it's not 2 by 10 by 10, because it's now the igul. And ribua yoisim an igul by a quarter. So I'm going to have to reduce this 200. If I take off a quarter, I take off 50, I'm down to 150. How many mikvahs do you have on 150? You got 50, right? Because 3 into 150 is 50. And that's how you have 150 altogether. Zokti Gemara. Nehid ipcho mimotisamis. You certainly couldn't go and turn it upside down. Meaning, you couldn't say that the bottom two were ogul and the upper three were meruba, but rather, down below it's square and up above it's got to be circular. How do I know? This was the ogul ksev. In the pasuk that we quote in the Amud Aleph, it said that the safa, that the rim on top, was round. So obviously I can't turn it upside down. But el ay mechava, how do I know, how did Chazal know that it's 3 plus 2? Maybe it's 4 plus 1. Maybe there was 4 down below, and therefore if it's 4 meruba, and only one which happens to be round, then you'd have more than 150 mikvahs. To the arithmetic, it'd be a little bit more. How did you know it's 150? Maybe it's 4 and 1, not 3 and 2. So the Moloysel Gadaitach, I have another proof positive that the mikvah was 150. Yam Shel Soima contained the volume of 150 mikvahs. Dichsit, the pasuk that we quote on the Amud Aleph, Alpayim Bas Yochel, that the mikvah can hold 2,000 bas. Now what means bas? The Dibur bas kamahavya. What's the size of a bas? Size of a bas is the same thing as what we use throughout Shas and Eifa. Torah also uses the term Eifa. The Oimer Asiris Eifahu. And how much is an Eifa? How much is a bas? Sholei soin, 3 saw. How do I know a bas is 3 saw? Tichsid, because it says ma'aser, ma'aser, habasman, hakor. Now kor, as we know, is 30 saw. Kor is very, very large, 30 saw. A bas is a tenth of a koir. If a koir is 30 saw, a tenth of 30 is 3. And so therefore a bas has to be 3 saw. The havaluhu, so now since we said that the Yam Sheshloimeh can hold volume of 2,000 bas, and every bas is 3 saw, 3 times 2,000 gets us to 6,000. Ah! So then it's very simple, simple arithmetic. Your regular mikvah holds 40 saw. Here we got 6,000 saw. Divide 6,000 by 40, and you get 150. So we didn't even need to go through all of these algebraic and mathematical gymnastics that we've gone through. It's very simple. If it holds 2,000 bas, and a bas is 3 saw, 2,000 times 3 is 6,000, I got 150 mikvahs, and that's what the Gemara says. The Havalahu Shita Alfi Gribi. It's 6,000 saw altogether, and divided by 40 is 150. Frank the Gemara. I love your cheshbon, it works out perfectly, but I just have a stiris of psukim. The pasuk that you just quoted about the Abai and Bas Yochu is a pasuk in Malachim. But there's another pasuk. This pasuk is in Divrei HaYomim. And there it's describing Yam Sheshloimeh, it says it's Machzik Batim Shloishes Alofim. 3,000, not 2,000. There was no small little puny little Yam Sheshloimeh. not 2,000 bas, 3,000 bas. So make up your mind. After Mahula Goitsha. Goitsha means the amount that you can go and pour in and that you have elsewhere in the Gemara. The Gemara calls it Birutzin. Birutzin means the overflow on top. And of course, Rashi points out, we're not talking about liquid. If you put in liquid, you know, if you ever fill up your kos to make Kiddush, Havdalah, how much can you hold on that rim above the kos? A little bit, nice. 1%, 2%, 3%, not a lot, otherwise it's going to spill over. But however, if you're talking about a solid, you put sand, you put sugar, you put in salt, whatever, you can make a nice teepee, right, sticking up outside the rim of the kli. So here the Yam Sheshleim, inside the Yam Sheshleim itself, you can go and hold 2,000 bas. But if you were to go and pour in something which is solid, you can have another 1,000 on top. In other words, an additional third. These types of kelim, when you go and add the additional birutzim, that heaping on top of the kli, it's an additional third. Utnanami Avtakarai from the Mishnah, Shida Tegu Migdol, Kaber Sakash, Kaber Sakonim, Bor Svin Alexandris, all of these large containers. Av Bisheshlan Shulayim, even though they have a bottom, they Machzikas Aboim saw, they're all the size of a mikvah 40 saw. Belach, if you're talking about liquids, Shein Kurayim Biyavish, if instead of putting a liquid you put in Yavish, then you get Kurayim. Now Kurayim, remember we said a koir is 30 saw. Kurayim is 2 times a car, that would mean 60 saw. You just said now it's 40 saw, now you're saying it's 60 saw. The reason is because, again, begoitche, it's a third more, and that's why the difference between 60 and 40 is the difference of 20, which is a third of 60. In all these cases, it's tahoyrin. What the Mishnah is getting at is, we have the famous rule that when is a kli mekabel tuma, if it's metalto mole verekon, what that Mishnah is telling us is that these huge containers hold up 40 saw, you and I, well, I shouldn't speak for you, but I could not pick up such a huge sheet of tefillah migdol, and therefore it's considered to be not metaltal mali v'reikon, and therefore it's tar, it's not mekabel tuma. Okay. Very exciting Gemara. Now we go on to lechi. We spoke about that the koira has to have a certain dimension. Lechi also has to have a certain dimension. What's the lechi dimension? Zok the Mishnah, lechi on she'amro. Notice the previous Mishnah started off koira in the singular, and here it says lechion in the plural. I note that because the Gemara is going to talk about that in a moment. So lechi on she'amro, the lechis that we keep on talking about, goy ben asorot tvachim. Exactly, Rabbi Lezer holds that you have to have two lechis, and that's what the Gemara is going to say in another moment. Shkoyach, brother Shai. Is lechi in she'omer, the lechi that we talked about, goy ben asorot tvachim, have to be 10 tvachim tall, v'rochman v'oivyan kolshu, in terms of the thickness, in terms of the width, it's just a kolshu, really a nothing. Rabbi Yossi, oimer, rochman gimel tvachim, we had this already Gemara before, that Rebbe holds that Rabbi Yossi, and you have to have the roichav, that the lechi has to be 3 tvachim wide. Okay, we're going to talk about that in the Gemara, Zokimar. We saw of lechi in she'omer, feiti mar leimitam stomach Rabbi Lezer, like brother Shai said a moment ago. We had a three-way machloikis. Is it for a mavi sasum? Do you need, according to Beis Shammai, lechi vikoira? According to Beis Hillel, you need a lechi oikoira? And according to Blazi, you need lechayayin. And remember, the Gemara had a clear whether it's lechayayin mita koira or lechayayin una koira, and the Gemara believed with an iboyit leifshita. But one thing we know, that Reb Lezer requires two lechayayin. So maybe what our Mishnah is telling us is, we paskin like Reb Lezer that you have to have two lechis, to omu lechion be'inon, to malay, nah, sinish karay. Ma lechion, lechion de alma. When it says lechayayin, it just means all the cases of lechis in the world. In other words, when Yankel has a movo, he has to put up a lechi. When Beryl has a movo, he has to put up. Mr. Smith in Antarctica, he has his movi, he has to put up a lechi. Mr. Jones in Alaska, he has to put up a lechi. Add all those lechis together of the whole world, all those lechi, and make sure that the dimensions are 10 tvachim tall. Rachman v'oivin koshim. Chayti mari, hachi, koirinami nisni koirish. If you're talking about lechi in the Alma, why didn't our previous Mishnah also start off the same way? That koirais, each one has to be rachman tafach. Why are we talking in the singular? And say over there, my kairos kairos the alma. Says the Gemara, you have a good point, L'chayr, it's a good diuk. Says the Gemara, however, we could learn our Mishnah the following way. Hachik Omer, our Mishnah you should learn azoy. Oysen lechion shenechliku behen Reb Lezer v'chachamim. Remember the three-way machloikim between Reb Lezer and Beisham and Beisil, whether it's a lechi with a koira, a lechi without a koira, or two lechion. Those lechis that Reb Lezer and the chachamim deal with and discuss. Goyven asar and tvachim v'roichven v'oivyon koshul. But by the koira, there's no discussion. A koira is a koira is a koira is a koira. Nobody said you need two koirais. And therefore, that's why we talk about one kaira, and here we talk about multiple lachim, but nishkaraya to Reb Lezer, because we're talking about the oilam of lachim according to all three mandiyam. Okay, if any more, become a koshu. I mean, that even a koshu has got to be something. How much is that? Tanarbhiya afilu kechut asarbal. Even like the thread of a sarbal, Rashi says a sarbal means a coat. So in other words, even a thread that you use in your clothing. If you remember back in Masechta Shabbos, we learned that if a person bought or produced a brand new shirt, if on Shabbos morning he tries to put the shirt on, but he realizes that around the neck it's still attached with a thread. Today they put in pins, some of them plastic pins, sometimes metal pins, and you got to remove those, and it's always a hassle, and it's always a nuisance. But in the good old days, they used to go and put an extra stitch to keep that neck together. And there the Gemara referred to the chutz asarbel, that if you cut through that on Shabbos, you have a problem of makir b'patish, because until now you couldn't wear the shirt, and now you can wear the shirt. Anyway, in other words, it's very, very insignificant. You're talking about mamish, the thickness of a thread. Tana, we learned in the Braisa. Also, lechi v'chatzim mavoi. Ein loy el chatzim mavoi. Now, what means a lechi v'chatzim mavoi? How do you make a lechi v'chatzim mavoi? So again, look down at the picture that we have here in the Rashi, and notice you have that nice U, which is the three walls of the Mavi, and instead of putting the Lechi right next to the opening of the Mavi, he put it in halfway. My picture is not exactly halfway, so like we had in the Omer Aleph, we have to be Royin, as if we pushed it down another inch or two, or at least another notch or two, to get it halfway. But the point is that that Lechi will only help for the remaining part of the Mavi, past the Lechi, not in front of the Lechi, because well, you learn that a lechi is a heker, lechi mishem mechitza, but it's only post lechi. There's one man yom that holds even kneged al chayayim is also mutter. Okay, but not in front of the lechi, only from the lechi and further in. Azay yizok dimar. So frank dimar, this is gadov pshita. What's the chiddush over here? Ela nochmo. The Tana, we learned that b'risa also lechi lemchatzimavi in the chatzimavi. Pshita pshita. If the lechi is in the middle, you only get the benefit of the back. And the aim of Yeshli Chatzimovi, the Chiddush is not that Aimli Ella, but that he has a Chatzimovi. Why not? There's a Lechi. What's the problem? Maybe we should make a Gzeira Midrabanan, and we should go and say, if there's a Lechi in the middle, people who are not so well educated, and they didn't learn Mesechtas Erevin, they're going to go and say, a Lechi Metakoira works. Ah, who do I care? The front and the middle, the back. A Lechi is a Lechi is a Lechi. What do you want from me? And therefore they're going to go and carry even in the front of the Mavi, in front of the Lechi, Kamash Malon, there is no such gzera. Amar Rava, also Lechi l'mavi, v'gbim in a karkish shloisha. He put a Lechi at the front of the Mavi, however the problem is he didn't put it on the ground, he picked it up from the ground. Now how do you go and pick it up from the ground? Presumably, for instance, you nail it into, you cement it into the wall of the Mavi, and therefore it's 10 tvachim tall, but the 10 tvachim start at the 3 tvachim line. In other words, it was raised from the floor 3 tvachim. Or, it wasn't right next to the kaisel, it was 3 tvachim removed from the kaisel. This is a gunish mitkosh. Says, you might have a little bit of Rav Shimon Galil, even Rav Shimon Galil that holds Lovet is up to 4, so the Chayyash should give the benefit of one more tefach. Hani mili lamalo. Lamala means like if you're talking about a sukkah lamashul, or for that matter, a mavoi, and you're looking at the space at the top of the sukkah till the schach, or the top of the mavoi till the koira, there, says Rav Shimon Gamliel, I give you a break up to 4, not 3. And the matri here down below, if you're going to raise up the lechi 3 tvachim, so like we had in the Amud Aleph, the gedoyim could easily go and run underneath those in that 3 tvachim space because that's big enough for a gdi. Like Omer, even if Shimon Gamliel would agree in such a case, you don't say lovud because it's not that there's a din of lovet of three as opposed to four, or four as opposed to three, avadav shivigam liya holds four. But if the doyim boikim bar, that supersedes and trumps the halacha of the lovet, because you can't use lovet because the gedoyim are breaking through your wall.
Why does it say a feeling of Shimon ben Gamliel?
If Shimon ben Gamliel says on the Amud Aleph the lovet is fourth
far.
Arba, exactly. And not arba, it's arba'ah. Because arba is arba amas, arba'ah is arba'ah tvachim. So, kedai tachamina, here the lechi was removed from the ground three tvachim. So, you and I that hold like the Tanakh Kama, not like Rav Shimon Gamliel, say, okay, three tvachim, no good, because you love it works until 2.99999. Once you hit three, no love it. So that's why it says, after lechi, mobi, it's really, you be it. Shloisha, lechi, lechi, lechi. But according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, you got up to 3.999, not 2.99, 3.99. So why don't you say love it? Says Yomara, in principle I say love it, but I have another problem, a superseding problem, and that's the Gedoyim Baikama. Rav Yossi Omer, Rochman Gimel Tvachim, that in fact, the Lechi has to be three Tvachim wide. Amr Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, Shmuel, and Alach Rav Yossi, we don't pass it, Rav Yossi, Loi Behilmi, for Loi Belechayayim. Not by Hilmi, not by Lechayayim. Now the Lechayayim, of course, that's our Mishnah, but Hilmi, we had back in Sech the Shabbos, that was talking about a person who wanted to go and make salt water on Shabbos. Just like we have salt water at the Seder night. What happens if Pesach falls out on Shabbos and you didn't make your salt water before Shabbos, it's now Friday night. Can you make salt water? A machloik is between the Tanakama and Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi asks, he said you cannot make salt water on Shabbos. The Tanakama holds you can. We pass like Tanakama, not like Rav Yossi. Ah. Omri Rav Huna Bar Chinen, the Hilmi Amrislam. So Rav Huna Bar Chinen says to Rav Yosef. This is, remember, this is Rav Yosef speaking. And you remember, we have countless times in Shas that the Gemara tells us that Rav Yosef Besof Yomov began forgetting some of his learning. So Rav Huna Bar Chinen says to the Rebbe, to Rav Yosef, Rebbe, the Hilma Amrislan, in the past you've told us that Omer Rav Yudah Meshmul ain't a lach Rav Yosef by Hilmi, by the salt water. But Lachi and the Amrislan, you never told us by Lachi. Right, the Gemara, Maishna the Hilmi the Pligir Rabban Alei. What's the reason why by Hilmi we don't pass him like Reb Yossi? Because you have Yochid Verabim, you have the Rabbanon. That's why we're not going to follow Reb Yossi, we're going to follow the Rabbanon. So Lachi and Ami Plik Rabban Alei. Say the same thing with Gabi the Lachis. So what is Rav Huna Bar Chinen's complaint and saying, Rebbe, you never told us we don't pass him like Reb Yossi Vilachia? Hey, use your brains, you could have figured it out yourself. Yochid Verabim Aloch Karam. Just like by Hilmi we don't pass him like Reb Yossi. By Lachi and Yolta don't pass him like Reb Yossi. Amalei said, no. There's a big, big difference. Shani Lachim, Mishim Dekoy, Rebbe Kabosei. We've had already a couple of times back in Dafyid Beis, Dafyid Gimel, that Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yossi that a lechi has to be three tvachim. Remember the Gemara said over there, that's why the Chotze Gedoyla was greater than the Chotze Ketana by one Amma. Why? So that I should have a pass of three on one side, a pass of three on the other side, because Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yossi that you have to have three tvachim, each pass, each lechi. That's what we learned more before. So therefore, so kedai to chamina, we should paskin like Rebbe Yossi, because Rebbe, kamash malon, no, they don't paskin like Rebbe Yossi, don't paskin like Rebbe, afilo mashim. Says the Gemara, Rechumi masli hachi, Rechumi said this Gemara a little bit differently, before Rav Yosef said in the name of Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel. Now Rav Chumi said, Om Rav Yehuda, Pereid Rav Shmuel, Bar Shilis, Mishmei Derav. But the same thing again, Ein Alok, Rav Yosef, Olei Hilmi, Mem Lechem. So the whole difference between the two Lashonis is, who are we quoting? Are we quoting ultimately Shmuel? Are we quoting Rav? That we don't pass Rav Yosef, not by Hilmi, by the salt water, not by Lechem, in our Mishnah. Om Alei, Amris, did you Taka say this? Who is asking this question? The Gemara is addressing this question to Rav Chumi. Did you really say in the name of Yehuda Bereid Hashmul, whatever the Mishnah that Rav, that ain't Allah? This he said, like, no. I never said it. No, it's not true. I didn't say it. It's fake news. Amrava Halakim Amra. I remember he said it clearly. I even have a tape recording. Look, I remember it clearly. So my time at Kohadabe, why is he not changing his mind? Mishum Drabyoisin Mukim, we have that famous cloud. That usually we pass him like Rav Yossi, even b'mokim rabbim. Not that this goes universally, but it happens quite often that we're going to pass him like Rav Yossi, even the face of a rabbin, because Rav Yossi Nemuka Imai. Nemuka Imai means that Rav Yossi was a very, very thoughtful and analytical Tana. So thoughtful that whenever he came up with halacha, it was based on solid, solid grounds. The Muka'ima, he would be able to go and show everybody, I have rayas from Tshuvas Rabbi Akiva Eigen, Tshuvas from Sofer, and from Prima Godim, and from the Taz, and from Magen Avraham, etc., etc. He really had solid foundations. And therefore, that's why Rav Rechumi now says, I changed my mind, we do Paskin like Rabbi Yossi after all. Okay, so we went back and forth. Yon Rabbi Yossi, Nish Rabbi Yossi, Omele Rav, the Rabbi Rav Chanan, Li Abaye, Hilchas Amai, Taka, what's the halacha l'maisa by Alechi? What's the din? Amalei Poik Chazi, my Amad Debar. Go and see what people are saying, what people are doing. What do people say and do? Says Rashi, four lines from the bottom. Ma Noagu, Omekvar Noagu, Balechi Mashu. If you go around Gans Klal Yisrael, wherever you go, whether you go to Yerushalayim or Bnei Brak or Tel Aviv or Haifa or Be'er Sheva or New York or London or wherever you are located, you'll see that everybody always relies on a Lechi Mashu. They don't require a Lechi of three Tvach. And all of our Erevin today, when they make a Tzuras HaPesach, the Lechis in each case are even a Mashu. Ikin Masi Lo'aha. Others repeated this Shtikl Torah of Rav Bar of Chonan asking Abaye Hilcha Samai, and Abaye responding, Poik Chazi May Amad Debar, on a totally unrelated Shaila. What was the unrelated Shaila? Back in Masechtas Brachos, we had a Machloikis. Hashoyis Amayim Letzmoy. A person is thirsty, and that's why he's drinking water. Rashi says, as opposed to someone who's drinking water because Nebuch he's choking from a bone or having eaten too much and it's in his food pipe and he's trying to run it down to wash it down, that's why he's drinking water. So a person who's drinking water because he's thirsty, what bracha do you make? And as we learned back in Masechtas Brachos, and as Rashi points out over here, Reb Tarfon is not telling us the bracha achrona, he's telling us the bracha rishayna. That when you're drinking water, don't make a shahakal, but before you drink, make a bracha boir nefoshes rabbis. I'll call mashu bracha. Again, omle Rav Chanan liabai hilchas amai. How do we pass? Just like we had Rav Bar Rav Chanan asked Abaye, Hilchas HaMayat, see what people do, and that's your Psak Halacha. Now here, unfortunately, we don't have a Rashi that tells us, so what did the Oilam do? However, for those of us that have the benefit of Likute Rashi, if you look at Likute Rashi on the side, we'll look at the last two lines of a Likute Rashi. He brings from the Rashi in Masechtas Brachos, my amadavar heich noyagin v'kfar noagul levarach v'tchila shehakol v'lebsoy v'bayin v'foshes rabbois v'chasroin al komash v'bar. In other words, just like we do, that you start off with a shehakol before and you end off a bayin v'foshes at the end. And Yet Hashem will continue tomorrow. It malachi on the eilav, that will be tomorrow. Sugya, the boys say, any questions?
What's the having me not to say? What was the competing view of this? Not to say shakal, not to say bar nefashos. What was the alternative?
The Gemara Masechtas Brachos says that some of the Tanoim did not agree that in all cases you have to have a bracha achrona. That some of the Tanoim held that you only have to make a bracha rishona, not a bracha achrona. And the Gemara goes through a number of cases. Don't you always make a bracha achrona on the grapes and on olives and all that? Don't you have to make a bracha me'ein sholosh, what we call an alamichya? If you wash, don't you have to go and bench? Don't you always? And then the Gemara says, well, by mayim you don't have to make a bracha achrona. And the Gemara concludes, no, that we do make a bracha achrona. So the Gemara says, so when don't we make a bracha achrona? And the Gemara concludes, there are two things that we don't make a bracha achrona. By birchas and henin, for instance, when we smell, last night we all made havdalah, we smelled the psamim. Did you make a bracha achrona after that? No. So you see that even by birchas and henin, you don't always make a bracha achrona. And certainly by birchas and mitzvahs. For instance, if you go and put in your talis, you make lesatif batzitzis. When you take the talis off, you don't make a bracha to remove the talis. And the same thing is, the Gemara said tefillin. Then the Gemara says there's one case of some people that even by tefillin, they also made a special bracha to mekayim the mitzvah, to go and put it on, to take it off. But that's, of course, not our minhag. And therefore, that same thing applies to all birchas and mitzvahs, that we typically do not have a bracha achareh, only a bracha lefana. Yes, any other questions, Rabbi Isai? Hearing nothing further, Miyat Hashem, we're going to continue tomorrow on the exciting sugya of Lechi Yo'imim Me'elav, the Miyat Hashem at 8:05. Have a wonderful day. It will be a day of great hatzlacha for all of us. Dag, gewünscht, kommt es.